This is the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. She began towards a career as a professional pianist, but ended up being a journalist instead because as a teenager, she developed stage fright. Sarah Solovich has now re-examined her stage fright and has written a book called Playing Scared, A History and Memoir of Stage Fright. And in it, she explores that oh-so-elusive condition. Sarah Solovich, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
I have to say that I was attracted to this book on many different levels. I'm a musician, obviously I'm a performer. Obviously, I've had some butterflies and stage fright there, too, maybe not to the extent that you did. But what made you want to examine this stage fright that popped up in your teenage years that you decided to try to battle in your later years when you decided to try to return to the stage and play piano?
Well, when I went back 30 years afterwards and started playing again, I realized that even though there were so many things I could no longer play as easily as I once had, my fingers were stiff, they didn't play nearly as quickly, I didn't learn as fast, I couldn't memorize anymore, but yet my stage fright was exactly where I had left it. It was totally intact, and it was as if it had been preserved, you know, with formaldehyde or something in a box. And so after several years of playing, and when I first went back, I have to say, I really thought I was only doing it for myself and never intended to perform. But after it became so much a part, you know, I loved it so much, and I was investing so much time and effort into it, I began to ask myself why I was really trying so hard, why I was putting in all this time, if I couldn't even be bothered, if I couldn't manage to rise to the occasion and play for a few friends.
Well, you attended the Eastman School of Music, and you did have your sights set on a career of music, and you truly were crippled by overwhelming stage fright. You tell stories in the book that, well, make me frightened. I mentioned having butterflies or a little bit of stage fright, but this is stage fright to the nth degree. Explain what your version of stage fright was back in your teenage years.
Yeah, it was fairly extreme. As I would stand up to go to the piano, sometimes even without knowing that I was nervous, the adrenaline would start rushing through my body, and I just experienced a constellation of symptoms. My hands would turn wet with sweat. Faucet inside my body had turned on. My fingers got so wet that the keyboard became one big slip and slide. And my knees would knock together, and my feet trembled so hard I couldn't control the pedals. And then, of course, the memory lapses would begin, and suddenly I'd forget music that I thought I knew cold. So it was pretty crippling.
So this stage fright, you decided, well, you went on to become a journalist, and you very much take a journalistic approach to examining stage fright. I mean, you talk to neuroscientists and psychologists and all the different techniques that people use to try to overcome stage fright. And this is something that's fairly prevalent in our society. I think I read in some of the materials surrounding your book that 74% of Americans fear public speaking and performance.
Yeah, that's what some of the surveys say, and I think that's not just Americans. I think that this is really part of the human condition, and that all of us at some point in our lives experience this on just, you know, in to different degrees, as you said. You don't necessarily have it in a crippling way, but most of us get somewhat nervous when we stand up to speak to a large group or even a small group of people, and we have to, you know, we're called upon to perform. We're standing outside the herd, as it were, and we're having to, you know, kind of like command attention. In some way, we're saying, I'm special. Look at me. Pay attention. And that brings out the nerves in most people. It's pretty, I think it's understandable. It's, in a way, it's our body's way of telling us, this is important. It's, you know, what we're doing is somewhat of a high-stakes situation.
I'm speaking with Sarah Solovich, the author of Playing Scared, A History and Memoir of Stage Fright. You can learn more about our book at our website, wvxu.org. And you talk about that fear, and that's, I was trying to decide, you look at all the different facets of stage fright, but fear is really at the core of it. You're going out there, you're trying to perform, you're trying to please people, but then there's the other side of the sword. When you make a mistake, oh gosh, how can I do that? And it's all about fear and our brain's reaction to that.
Yeah, we're being evaluated, and we know that we're being judged, and I think that brings up some really kind of primal fear in all of us that, you know, we aren't going to make the grade, that people will think we're stupid or incapable, and just that we, you know, that we aren't worth watching, and it's humiliating. I think it's part shame and a lot of fear, and what happens is that we respond physiologically in the same way to stress, and of course, that's exactly what it is, it's stress. We respond exactly the same way as an animal, you know, like fleeing from a predator across the savannah does. It's kind of ridiculous to say, you know, like the lion, you know, or the zebra would think we're really stupid, you know, that our bodies are responding the same way that this animal is when it's running away from the lion, but that kind of is what happens.
And there are many different treatments. I learned quite a few more in reading Playing Scared, but talk about some of the measures that you went to in trying to overcome your stage fright, because you challenged yourself. You said, in a year, I'm going to play a recital just before my 60th birthday. I'm going to play a recital for 50 of my friends, something that terrified you, but you thought you had to work your way up to that point. And you start to examine different ways to, for lack of a better term, treat your stage fright. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think that what I quickly realized was that if I had given myself just one chance to perform, one big recital, which was how I initially envisioned it, it would really be a recipe for disaster. And so I began to put myself in situations where I had to do it over and over again. And this is what psychologists call exposure therapy. I didn't quite realize at the time that this was what I was doing. But the first thing that I did was to start going and playing the piano at the San Jose airport. There's a grand piano just outside the baggage claim area in Terminal B, and every 10 days or so, I would bring all my music, and I would lay it out on the music rack, and I would just play my heart out. So, you know, for everybody who, thank goodness, didn't pay any attention to me. People, you know, the travelers were just walking by and chatting on their cell phones and dragging their luggage and yelling at their kids, and the announcements overhead were interrupting constantly, and, you know, just amid this incredible din of noise and interruptions, I was really able to focus, because I knew that nobody was really paying attention and nobody was judging me, and so it allowed me to experiment and find my own comfort level. And when I first started doing this, I was terrified, of course. I mean, just the thought that anybody would see me, you know, in this situation and, you know, kind of possibly have a, you know, like, what if I made a mistake, God forbid, right? And then over time, I'd say maybe by the fourth or fifth time, it just started becoming kind of commonplace for me. And it no longer felt like a real risk. And I just became comfortable, more comfortable in my own skin, at least, performing. And then as that, you know, I started to, you know, kind of upping the ante and taking on, you know, higher risks, as it were, and just, you know, inviting people over to the house and having little performances and engaging in master classes, playing for, you know, other musicians and just it was just kind of like going up this ladder of risk for me.
Sarah Solovich is the author of Playing Scared: History and Memoir of Stage Fright. And I was, well, there's so many things I learned in your book, Sarah, because I usually as I'm reading books and knowing I'm going to talk to an author, I'll dog ear the pages at the bottom of the page. And I have to say, most of Playing Scared is dog-eared at the bottom of them. It's like every page I found something to talk about. So I'm not really sure which direction to go here. But of the many techniques, of course, there are folks who will straight away say, well, have you tried drugs yet? And that is one thing that has been used down through the ages, but more and more these days, especially by musicians, these beta blockers. And you, that was something that one of the therapies that you tried in overcoming your stage fright.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I'm somebody who never takes drugs. I mean, I'm just so kind of, you know, like everything has to be pure and uncomplicated for me. But in this case, I just welcomed the big guns of Western medicine. And I found beta blockers incredibly helpful to me, especially as I began to kind of enter into this world that was so prohibitive. You know, it just seemed like something I couldn't do. You know, when I first started this project, I knew it was a good idea, that it was rich and intellectually stimulating and that it was a really worthy project. But the idea that it was within my reach, I mean, I knew I could write it, but could I actually do what I had set out for myself? That I really questioned. And beta blockers made it possible, especially in the beginning. It allowed me to, you know, to take those first steps, because what I really was afraid of was all those symptoms I discussed at the beginning, the, you know, wet hands and the shaking, you know, limbs and the inability to control myself. It was my very worst nightmare. Beta blockers eradicated all those symptoms. They block the heart's adrenaline-responsive beta receptors, and so they work by slowing the nerve impulses through the heart. They make the heart pump less forcefully, lowering blood pressure and reducing a demand for oxygen. And so they're really, you know, when they first came out, I think it was like in the 1960s maybe, you know, they were even then seen as a way by the scientists in England who were working on this to control their own stage fright when they would get up and give speeches and talks. So they quickly became seen, you know, by musicians, especially classical musicians, as a way of controlling their nerves. And, you know, it's been joked that there's a, you know, an IV drip of propranolol, which is, you know, one kind of beta blocker that just hangs over every orchestra pit in the world.
Right. an ongoing, yes, a joke of it.
Yeah.
But that's the physiological aspects of stage fright, but you also delve into the mind. And it is the mind, I think, the mind games, as one of your chapters is called, that really does, is the root of stage fright. Would that be a fair statement?
I think so, especially because once you begin playing, what's really demanded of any performer is total focus and concentration. And when you have all these thoughts of fear and stress running through your mind about, you know, like, can you do this? Or here comes the hard part. Or am I going to be able to get through this part? Or, you know, what do they think of me? I mean, all the stupid things that we think about when we should be completely focused on something that's incredibly challenging, that's when you really have to, like, learn how to tame your mind and wrest control of it and focus. So, yeah, meditation, I think, is incredibly helpful. I used yoga a lot. Breathing was very important to me, learning how to breathe and continue breathing through performances, and then centering myself.
What would you recommend to somebody who has crippling stage fright? How should they approach trying to overcome that?
Well, it's funny because I did use so many kind of methods and remedies that I guess it's hard to separate out. It certainly wasn't a controlled study in my case,
right,
where I could say, well, X worked, but Y and Z didn't. No, I mean, I just did everything, you know, that ever anybody ever recommended. It was like, you know, Steve Blass, who, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher, who back in the 1970s, I think it was 1973, just developed this crippling case of the yips or the thing and suddenly couldn't throw anymore. And he'd been one of the great throwers. And he just tried everything, including, you know, famously investing in a loose set of boxers, which one of his fans recommended. So I kind of embraced that same you know, spirit. Like, give me it, you know, I'll try anything. However, what I would recommend is that, I mean, the most important thing to me, it seemed to just do it ultimately and to take these little steps. And so exposure therapy really did seem like the most valuable thing that I did. And then finding people who will support you and help you through that.
Playing Scared, A History and Memoir of Stage Fright by Sarah Solovich, available where books are sold. Learn more at our website, wvxu.org. A very insightful read for me, Sarah. Thank you very much for taking time to be on the book club.
Thank you so much, Mark. I enjoyed it.
You've been listening to the book club at 91.7. Technical director is Rick Andres. Producers Kevin Reynolds. Web guru is Jim Nolan. Announcers Robin Carey Allgaier. And welcome to our new assistant producer and intern, Catherine Cunningham. I'm Mark Purcell. Best-selling author Dale Brown shares his new military thriller, Iron Wolf, next Saturday. And local author William Plunkett talks about his book, The G-Man and the Diamond King, a true FBI crime story of the 1930s. Plunkett is another of the authors who will be at Books by the Banks in October. Those books and more next week in the Book Club at 91.7. Weekend edition next on 91.7 WVXU. Have a great Saturday and a fun Labor Day weekend.